Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Now, to have the entire conversation about this Browns loss in England, maybe see if he had any good English food while he was out there. That I believe that's an oxymoron.
Yeah, that doesn't exist.
Good English food.
That doesn't exist.
JK, LOL, we love you, England. And we love Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst. He joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Nathan, welcome to the show, bud.
Thanks, guys. Good to be with you.
Well, it's always great to have you here. One, other than the game, how did you find London?
It was good. So we were actually staying about to the northwest of London. That's where the team was staying. But I was able to get in a couple of times, and it's great. Big city, tough to get around, but did have great food at a great restaurant. Ate at a great place called Brat, and then another place with my good friends at it was called Bombay Bustle, which was incredible Indian food. So yeah, we had a very nice time. I thought the stadium was a great environment, great atmosphere, beautiful stadium, beautiful new stadium for Tottenham Hotspur. And so yeah, that part of it was great. Outcome, you know, not as great.
Well, let's ease into this one gently. We've said fine. We had acceptable. We had adequate. How do you feel like Dylan Gabriel did in his NFL debut yesterday?
Well, Dylan Gabriel became the first quarterback this season to face the Minnesota Vikings and throw for two touchdowns. Nobody else has done that. Did not turn the football over against a defense that had a takeaway in 20 of their last 21 games. I thought he managed the game effectively. Would you have wanted to see, you know, us put up 20 points? Of course, obviously. But I thought, you know, Dylan Gabriel did enough for us to win this game. And I thought, especially down the red zone, converting those touchdowns, the one to Harold Pan, the one to David Njoku was, especially the one to David Njoku, very impressive. So I thought he was, what more could you expect? This is against a Brian Flores defense, kind of on the road in a week where 1 of your 3 days of practice really was wiped out by travel. I thought he did a very nice job. Now, are there things, if we're coming out of a win, we'd say he did everything you wanted. He managed the game, the two touchdowns. You know, where can he improve? We got to get the football down the field. We got to get the passes, you know, more than 10 yards in the air going for this football team. We got to get the ball to our wide receivers at a more effectively. And now some of that's on them with the drops, but I thought overall, though, Dylan Gabriel was everything that you wanted him to be, because we've been saying, let's just play good defense. Let's run the ball. Quinshon goes for his first 100-yard games. Let's have a quarterback who, you know, makes some plays, which he most certainly did, and does not hurt us, doesn't give any short fields, and he didn't do that. So I think that checked the boxes, but, you know, it turns out even winning the turnover battle by two, in this case, was not enough to win.
Yeah, Nathan, we heard you on the broadcast yesterday. You sounded very passionate and very heated about the Jerry Jeudy drop. Obviously, then he was only targeted one time in the second half. I thought it was a well-placed ball by Dylan Gabriel. How'd you see that drop and that play then as it unfolded?
It's tough. It was a well-placed ball, and you know, it's kind of a little bit on that on the back hip there, and Jerry Jeudy went down to get it, and you know, you wish he had been able to come up with it, and I still think Jerry Jeudy is a very good receiver, because I've seen it happen. This year, just he has not really been able to get on track, and we really haven't been able to get on track off as an offense getting the football to our wide receivers. And so that's something that I think is going to have to change going forward. You know, it's just, I think it's frustrating when you're a team, and here's the reality, right? The Browns are a team that has a pretty low margin for error. So when you're 3 of 15 on third down, and you have your best, you know, wide receiver out there, your Pro Bowl wide receiver, you need him to make a play. And, you know, it's happened against Cincinnati. It's happened against Detroit. It happened here, where he has unfortunately not been able to come up with those. I'd still keep giving him the football because you need him. And I think you believe in him that he will make those plays. But, yeah, that was a tough one.
Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst on the Fan Hotline here, talking with the latest Browns loss here. So, big picture on offense. It did look, by the way, in fairness, it looked more functional than it had in the previous few weeks here. What are the immediate, most fixable things on offense to take that next step in functionality or better?
Well, you got to stop with the penalties. You know, you had 10 penalties. Did the Browns? 6 were on the offensive line. 5 on the left tackle position alone. That's got to get cleaned up. And then, you know, you go into Dillon Gabriel's numbers and you dive into him. He did great against the when he was under pressure, had a quarterback rating well over 100. He did great against the blitz. We've got to become more efficient when he's operating from a clean pocket. That's what you really didn't see in that game. I think just over 5 yards an attempt. We've got to get that number way up. So I think that's something that you can do. And then, you know, you have got to, we got to continue to run the football. I think we need to stretch, even if it's not, you're just kind of throwing it and it's not necessarily a completion. We've got to throw some verticals and loosen up some of these defenses because, you know, it's hard to operate in a compressed field. That's why operating in the red zone is so difficult at times because it's a compressed field. And the Browns offense, it feels like, is playing in a very compressed field right now. But you got to love what you're seeing from Quinshon Judkins. He gets better every single week. And this one really should have had about 180 yards and a touchdown. Penalties robbed him of about 70 yards and a score. I think that he's incredibly impressive. And then the other thing, it's just, you know, if you're going to be that reliant on the run, it's the little things. On the 3rd down and 1 from about our own 10-yard line, to play we'd run earlier in the game, and on this time the wide receiver split was a little too wide. Jonathan Grenard was able to get inside, chase that down from the backside, and stop Quinshon Judkins short. And then, you know, the other areas, when you're in situational football, you've got to be better. So 3rd down, 3 of 15, that's not going to cut it in the National Football League. And then when you get the ball back with 4 minutes, the other team should not get the ball back. And that drive where you run into, they had 6 defensive linemen on the field, 9 guys on the box. I think, you know, you got to maybe try and be a little more aggressive. We got to play action pass on 1st or 2nd down there because you run, and then on 3rd down, I have no problem trying to throw for the 1st down and being aggressive there, but it's almost got to be, hey, Dillon, either complete this pass or go ahead and just like take a knee, take a sack, and force them to either use, you know, the final timeout or get 40 seconds off this clock, which could have been a big deal at the end of the game.
If you had to guess, what do you think happened in that play? Do you feel like that was what it was drawn up to be, or the direction maybe was different?
Yeah, on which play? The 3rd down?
3rd and 11, yeah.
Yeah, I think that it just either was a little bit of miscommunication or maybe he was a little rushed. But Dillon, I'd also kind of felt like in watching some of them where it was, look, we're going to end every drive with a kick. So if you don't feel really good about it, just kind of airmail it, throw it out of bounds, we'll go ahead and punt it. It almost kind of looked like that because there were multiple misses in the game where it was clear that they were kind of more throwaways than they were errant passes.
Nathan, I will say that was a deflating loss as a fan because it was right there and it was 3rd down. Yeah. It was, you know, all the things that you've talked about here. You're 1-4 now. How do you pull the nose up on this, not just with Pittsburgh, but with a little easier fare going on after it?
You got to continue to do some of the things that you did in that game, right? You still got to play good defense. And I know we have the number 1 defense, and yes, they went 80 yards on them. And you want your defense to be able to hold up in that situation. That would be fantastic, but they were not able to hold up in that situation. You got to score more than 20 points. Got to keep winning the turnover battle. Keep feeding the ball to Quinshon Judkins, and you've got to somehow unlock, you know, the chunk plays, because it's too hard in the NFL to go on 12, 13, 14 play drives. You've got to unlock the chunk plays. And yes, you can get them in the run game, and we certainly have seen that in the past with Nick Chubb, and we're seeing that right now with Quinshon Judkins. He has more 30-yard rushes, you know, than we have 30-yard pass plays this season. But you need those to come from the passing game. And that's, I think, something the Browns, that they've got to unlock that if they want to take care of business. And special teams has got to be at least a net neutral, which it has really only been in 2 of the 5 games this season. That's got to continue as well.
Nathan, you'd mentioned a little bit about the game that Quinshon had and how positive that was. What do you think, when you see Quinshon run, is there any comps or anyone you have that immediately darts out to you? And what do you think exactly the ceiling could be for someone like Quinshon?
Yeah, first of all, I think he has a chance to be one of the top rushers in the league. I think he has a top to be, you know, Pro Bowler, All Pro, all of the things that, you know, Nick Chubb was for us. I'm going to throw a comp out at you guys and see what you think about it. It occurred to me in the broadcast watching him run in this game in London. He kind of reminds me of Le'Veon Bell a little bit. Runs a little upright. He kind of has some of those where he slow plays it into the hole, and almost there's one where he did come to a stop. And then his ability to to identify where he wants to go and hit that acceleration. To me, it reminds me when Le'Veon Bell was, you know, one of the best running backs, if not the best running back in the NFL. He's got the burst to the outside. He's got the home run hitting ability, but his ability to kind of come in and hop into a run, pick his hole, and go is special. And I love watching him run.
Nathan, obviously left tackle. We saw a little bit of Leviston. We saw a little bit of Cam Robinson. Do you think we should expect that that tag teaming at left tackle to continue?
No, I think you make a trade for Cam Robinson, who started over 100 games in his career, to be that guy. I think, you know, he comes in on a short week. I mentioned with the travel to London, not able to get a ton of reps there. And so that would be my guess as to why we saw it go the way that it went. But I think Cam Robinson will, with a full week of practice, likely, I could be wrong about this, but my guess is he was brought here to be the left tackle.
Nathan, one other positive I want to ask you about. Alex Wright, Zay McGuire, Malik Collins all look spectacular in this. It's weird because the defensive line, everyone in the defense, a lot of people did their part, but those three in particular I thought really stood out.
Yeah, they've been playing really, really well. Malik Collins now 3.5 sacks this season, just trailed Miles by 0.5 a sack. Alex Wright and Zay McGuire have been guys that have played, you know, really well for the Browns at times, and you're seeing their continued ascent. So you've got young guys still on rookie contracts in the case of those two defensive ends. Now Wright's in the last year of his rookie deal, but that are playing well. And what I really love, some of them got caught at one point, you know, peeking in and then gave up the edge. And they, when the Vikings went back to try to test them on that again, they both answered that and made big defensive plays, got stops, got off the field. So yeah, very encouraged by them. There's a lot to like in general. I think Grant Delpit's playing great football. Swesterger's playing very well. Devin Bush is playing very well. Greg Newsome, I think, is having an unbelievable season. Miles Harden is holding up because there were multiple plays in this where they used late motion, just like the Lions did the week before, to get Miles one-on-one with Justin Jefferson. And for the most part, Miles Harden more than held his own against, I think, you know, the best receiver in the NFL. So there's a lot to like about this defense right now. You just need to come through on that final one and seal this here, and hopefully they'll be able to do that when presented with that opportunity again.
Nathan, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate you, and welcome back home.
Thanks, Nathan.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.
Nathan Zagura there, Browns analyst on the Fan Hotline. Starting next week, we're going to have him every single Monday at 4:40. So we locked in a spot, so we're going to have Nathan for a full segment going forward. But again, that's next week. I will tell you, it's two times in five games the Browns have done the left tackle tandem. Mm-hmm. If I ever see that again, I'm going to lose my ever loving mind unless it's for injury. that just does not make sense in the NFL at all. If you were comfortable enough with Cam Robinson playing in that game, he should have just started the damn game.
Yeah.
If you thought there was a chance you were going to bench KT Leviston, who's been bad since coming here, then you should have just started Cam Robinson.
And bad's putting it nicely for KT. I mean, geez.
I was trying to be kind.
Yeah, have we ever seen a tackle come in and get as many flags as he's gotten in
Desmond
a consistent
Harrison.
Basis?
Yeah, that's the first name that I thought
of. Was?
Actually, who is that? Robinson, the former number two pick from the Rams, Greg Robinson. Also booty cheeks. And
he was here for a brief moment. It's bad.
They were the tandem too.
It's bad. It's really not good. But with KT though, it feels like no one could have had between him and Cam Robinson being in any part of this offensive line, considering we got him after the Rams' third preseason game. It's such an odd spot to be in where two parts of your offensive line, no one could have guessed would even be on the team, nonetheless starting, and we're already week five. Five different offensive line combinations already. It's crazy.
Let's just hope that Jack Conklin's shoulder holds.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
is up there.
As we've talked about all show long, today's the first show. We've been live on YouTube. Obviously, we've had clips up there. Ken and Anthony have been live for, I want to say, about 6 weeks now, but this is our first show live. And Jake Murren has been keeping tabs on comments and the chat. Maybe the super chat.
Yeah, because, you know, the super chat, really just comments and chats in general, they can be sometimes really, really funny and creative. Other times it can just be downright mean, too. Yeah. So, like, we want all of it. We want to take in all of it.
Well, I don't know. Bonjour Bob made a joke about my triple chin, and I was like, all right, it's
Bonjour
a Monday.
Bonjour Bob did that?
I know. Well, no, it's, by the way, he correctly surmises that I don't care when people talk about my heavy setness. It's kind of hard not to, by the way, because look at me. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be self-aware.
That's the opening, though, that you give people, though. When you make jokes about it yourself, then people then want to just go for it.
But I was like, in fairness, it's more of a quadruple chin right now. All right? I had a 40th birthday party a couple weeks ago. It was that cake. It was triple until that cake. And
I was in my mind, I was like, I'll say something really nice and be like, no, that just looks like two chins. But then when it came out, I was like, that didn't seem nice.
No, Nick, what are you saying?
That's very nice.
At tops, it's 2.5 chins. Jake, I know Jake's been manning. Jake, I have no idea if you have a microphone in front of you. You ready to talk, bud?
I'm going to take that as a no.
Yeah,
like a no. That one feels like he's not ready to talk.
I thought we drew up what we were going to do in this segment.
No, we did. Here's where we made a mistake, though, okay? We drew it up. We told him when it was going to happen, and then we didn't remind him after like 15 minutes or so.
So it's like a goldfish?
Yes. We have to assume that no one can remember anything for longer than 10 minutes.
I did think it was 640, not 540, so I guess that's on me. But
that's what we do in case we missed it.
Yeah.
Well, I thought we were going to do it right before in case we missed it, and then...
You think you're pretty important, don't you?
I think the YouTube commenters are pretty important.
Well, that's why you do it at 540. This is prime time here. All right, so just give us a couple real quick here, and then we're going to take some calls.
Yeah, so I liked our first comment of the day from Mike here. He said, we get to see more Nick Wilson and JP. What? Sounds like a victory Monday to me. Welcome to YouTube, boys.
Oh, that's very nice. Very nice. All right. That was not people talking about my triple or quadruple chin. I like that.
Oh, that was a win.
That was the first YouTube comment in the Afternoon Drive era.
The YouTubers, for people new to the chat, super duper chat, just letting you know, we really like when people say nice things about us. Yeah. We're a little different than most people.
Yeah.
Most people don't care about that.
Really obscure about us.
These two guys really into being complimented.
By the way, I did check with the boss. None of the super chat money is going to go to us, by the way. If you do the super chats, that's nice. It's going to Odyssey. We appreciate that, I guess. But like, it's not breaking. There's no bread being broken off.
Not now. Or maybe it's going, maybe it's like a wink wink. It's like an under the table thing.
Could you imagine if I actually asked him, like, so the super chat money?
I'll get like
how much of that is actually going to us? Like, what?
When Andy was our boss at Christmas, we'd get like a $5 gift card to AMC. That's right. That'll be the super chat money for all of us.
And it was always for one person, too. It was as if you could only go to the movies by yourself. Yep. There's no room for number 2.
And then there became a point where $5 just what you were seeing half a movie for it.
Yeah. Well, then he switched.
Still loved it because it was appreciated.
Then he switched, though. He switched to the scratchers.
Yep.
Which I think are great. It's one of the best gifts you can give is a scratcher.
My neighbor got me two scratchers and two $10 scratchers. Your boy won $50 for his birthday. Come on now.
That's fantastic.
He turned 20 into a 50 for my birthday.
Did you tell the neighbor this?
Yes, because now in my mind.
They feel like they gave you a $50
gift. They gave me $50
gift.
Right. Yeah.
That's right. Many ways they did.
Yeah. Now, if they give me $0 gift, it would have been like, well, that's just how you play
the game. He did a $5 scratcher per person in this office for like 4 or 5 years after the movie ticket thing ran out. And I don't know that anybody came away with winning anything more than like $20.
I mean,
I certainly know I didn't win once.
I got a $5 scratcher. Might have also gotten a couple $1 scratchers thrown in there. I'm not saying I was a favorite, but what else did the chat say?
That's how you could tell.
You referenced this one earlier. Artificial Hips LLC commented earlier in the first hour. Said, but let's sit here and be overreactionary and try to do bits and comedy bits. Are you guys adults or 13-year-olds?
I would say we're 13-year-olds.
Probably closer to 13-year-olds.
Yeah. Do we think there are actually adults that work in sports talk? Is that a thing? I've not seen an adult.
There's a reason why we have a mortgage and kids and a wife is because it puts up the facade of us being adults.
Yeah. We're faking that part of it. Yeah. This is the real part
of
us.
It really helps. It really helps when you can say all those things. But we're 13-year-olds. It's fine.
All right. One more, Jake.
And when breaking down Dylan Gabriel's NFL debut, Cam commented, said, Brett Favre couldn't win with these receivers in this O-line. Real shame that Miles is wasting away here.
Could Brett Favre? Yes, he could. He's a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, a franchise quarterback overcomes bad head coaches, bad O-lines. Like, Lamar does not play in front of a good offensive line. They're just all fat.
You know, so outside of, outside of Miles yesterday talking about how he basically got exhausted at halftime because of the trip to London just wore him out,
yeah.
We haven't heard him actually complain too heavy about the team and the team struggle so far.
I think that might be the $40 million.
Is that, he's just content? Yeah. He's just happy now?
Yeah.
He's like one of those fat Buddhas. He just kind of hangs out.
He's like an offensive lineman for the Baltimore Ravens.
Good
like,
for him.
You get paid, you get up. I'm not
buying it, though. We're going to get there eventually with Miles. At some point this season, the man will break.
Okay, maybe not this year.
He's done it every year they've stunk since I've been here, which is every year Miles Garrett's been here. Every year we've seen him, at some point, just lose it. It's not right now. Might be after the Steelers game, though. You know he cares about the Steelers games.
That's true. If only he has more sacks than TJ Watt. All right, thank you very much.
He's getting fed right now with the sacks. I don't think he cares as much.
No.
I think he's so focused on his individual stuff.
I have to admit, Jordan Addison wasn't the only person that got punished on Sunday. Apparently, Jordan Addison went out on a London excursion and got benched for the first half and basically the first quarter and most of the second quarter as well.
Did you ever find out what the London excursion actually was?
Yeah, there was a video of him out with some rapper in London.
No, that was fake, though. I thought that
it really is?
Yeah. Jax, help me out, because you know this type of stuff. There was a video Drewski put up, and I'm pretty confident that was just it was a fake and it was a decoy.
Yeah, I'm pretty...
I thought Drewski had more journalistic integrity than that. I mean, it's tough to see an icon go down like that.
The moment Drewski put it up, there should have been a lot of red flags that were waved by a lot of people. No, that was not real, though.
I'm just going to tell you, there are a lot of people that might have had Jordan Addison in their fantasy football. I'm just saying, there's a lot of people out there. He's, I think, 78% rostered, 90% rostered, 50% started. Would be nice to have some transparency on that.
Didn't he make up for it with the touchdown grab and the three straight completions that he had in that fourth quarter?
Imagine what he could have done if he played for the first half.
All right, so you got a big beef here. You got a big beef with the NFL. Lay out your reasoning, and then I think you said you had a solution as well, which I'm dying to hear.
I just think the fact is, when it comes to the era of gambling and fantasy football and gambling on fantasy football, I don't think the soft launch of benching is actually doing the consumer any care. The NFL has to think about this. They talk about the integrity of the game all the time.
Yeah.
NFL teams play fast and loose with disciplinary and injury news because they want to protect some private advantage for themselves. But here's the thing. Big gambling companies have more insight into things like that because they're big gambling companies and have these direct partnerships with teams in the league now. That is a disadvantage to people that play the game. I don't think you can do this anymore. Like, if Jordan Addison gets benched for the first half, it should be out there. It should be a known thing because money on the line.
At the 11:30 injury report, that's when maybe they should come out with that. And you should have, like, if we're going to bench anybody for disciplinary reasons,
absolutely,
that's when we need to see it.
And honestly, the NFL itself needs to police this. They need injury and discipline scorecards, almost like the NFLPA scorecard for teams to try and keep them honest. The NFL needs it as well. Because frankly, the fact that I didn't know that happened... Yeah, if this was a money league, I would be furious right now, even though I got the win. But Jordan Addison was a part of that. But no, you can't have a guy not out there for half a game, and then we weren't privy to the fact that wasn't going to happen.
I mean, I'm definitely for as much transparency as possible. I'm more for us getting more information. So I have no response to this in some sort of negative way. I just think it's dumb of the Vikings.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of ways you can discipline a player. Keeping them out for the first quarter of a game that you need to win in many ways, and they needed to win this one, like, that just seems dumb.
You know who loves...
I don't know that I could ever do it as a coach, to be honest.
You know who loves this kind of stuff?
Who's that?
It's a guy down the road in Berea that loves this kind of stuff, too. I also hate it, by the way. I just hate the idea of, like, well, he didn't play in the first quarter. I guess he learned his lesson. No. His fantasy football... or anybody that had an anytime touchdown on him that was sweating until the last moment of the game, those are the people that paid, not Jordan Addison, who still made his full game check, and Jordan Addison, who, oh, by the way, didn't have to take potential shots to the head for half a damn game.
He still got targeted six times, though. He was the second most targeted player, but he's such an impactful player. Like, I just think it's dumb to keep him out of the first quarter.
Does the NFL's lack of transparency with discipline and injuries bug you? Yes, Jordan Addison is on my fantasy team. Yes, it worked out. In this era of gambling and obviously fantasy sports, I think it's honestly, I think it is part of the integrity of the game, and it's pretty embarrassing that the NFL hasn't picked up on that
yet. I'd love to know what his props were, his receiving props going into the game and everything, and if that was impacted relative to other weeks, because how is it not? If you find out somebody's not playing in the first quarter completely, I take him off the board.
It would have been good if I knew this was going to happen, because then I could have researched that as well.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.